The following podcast is taken from a live broadcast on Inspire FM.
Assalamu alaikum everyone, welcome to the Arise to Success show where we aim to highlight inspiring individuals and their journeys to success. I'm your host on this show, my name is Jihad. Dear listeners, today's show is pre-recorded, so we won't be able to take any questions, but please feel free to send your thoughts about the show at 0779-481822. Alternatively, you can also comment on Facebook. So our guest today is Arjumand Abdullah, who is an entrepreneur and Quranic guidance coach for Muslim women based in India. Arjumand will be sharing his story of how she made it to the second runner-up of Super Speaker Season 2. She's the only Muslim woman in a hijab to do so out of over 200,000 participants across India, mashallah. Dear listeners, as one of our themes of Ramadan this week is about thanking Allah the Almighty for everything we have, inshallah, we'll be addressing this in today's show throughout, inshallah. Arjumand, so lovely to have you with us on the show today, and welcome to the Arise to Success show. How are you doing?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah, I'm all good and super excited for this interview. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khairan kathira for this opportunity and for thinking of me and providing me with this opportunity to share my story here with you.
Oh yeah, and it's so lovely to have you with us, and I'm really excited, inshallah, to know more about your work. So maybe, inshallah, if we start with you telling us a little bit more about you and how your journey started as an entrepreneur and Quranic guidance coach for Muslim women.
Okay, alhamdulillah. So my journey didn't start very long ago. It was actually during the COVID. Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah, I've had the opportunity to study the Quran in depth and teach it to Muslim women. And I've been doing that for almost 20 years now. And during the whole, during the entire session, I realized that while alhamdulillah now, especially during COVID, where things opened up online, where a lot of Muslim women now, alhamdulillah, have exposure to the Quran and to the study of the Quran. While we read it and while we understand it also to a certain extent, I felt that there was a gap in implementing its principles in our day-to-day lives. And here I'd like to share my story where I had the same problem. And when I was looking for solutions, especially during COVID, I went exactly where everybody else did online in search for a solution. To the circumstances, to the new way of life, to the new way of living, to, you know, dealing with the situation. And it so happened that every time I did a course or every time I, enrolled with a coach to find the solution to my problem, it could be, parenting. I've done parenting courses, I've done relationship courses, I've done all kinds of self-development courses. And I always came back to one thing. And, I always, at the end of every session, I always held my head and I said, you know what? This is there right in front of me in my Quran. Why am I not able to see it? And the reason, alhamdulillah, yes, the reason I could say that is because I had been connected with the Quran. I had been teaching it and studying it, for these past so many years. And I'm like, why did this escape me? Why did I feel the need to even look anywhere else when the solution was right in front of me? And that's when I actually started my journey. And I said, okay, if this can miss me, I'm sure there are lots of women out there who can miss this as well. And that's when I started my entrepreneurial journey. And I put both of them together, actually. And I said, now I came out and created this community called Your Sister in Islam, where basically I help align Muslim women, align themselves to the principles of the Quran and Sunnah to find the best solutions to their problems in this world. And not only that, but get rewarded for it in the hereafter as well.
Inshallah. Well, this is so beautiful, mashallah. And it's such a beautiful journey where you, as you said, we have the thing sometimes right in front of us and we go looking for it. But subhanAllah, we realize Allah gives us that realization. It's right there. So mashallah, right. That is such a beautiful thing. And mashallah, not only helping yourself with it, but you're also helping others. So that's so beautiful. So that makes me interested also to ask as well, and for you to educate us a little bit more about what is the what is a Quranic coach, and how do you help women with this, with being a Quranic coach?
Okay, so here is what I do. I actually help them connect to their creator. Mm. And connecting to the creator is important because I believe that if we align ourselves according to the principles of the Quran and Sunnah, that is the best way of aligning ourselves to the creator.
Yeah.
Right? And when we align, we are created as abidas, that is worshippers. We are created on this earth as a khalifa, as a vicegerent of our Rabb and our creator. And the ultimate thing that we can do, in fact, the best thing that we can do is get ourselves up to that level where we worship him to the best of our abilities. And I believe that if we can align ourselves to the creator through the principles of the Quran and Sunnah, I believe that everything else around us will change. So it's more of a self-realization journey where I help Muslim women align themselves using the principles of the Quran and Sunnah to their creator so that they are able to deal with their, with the situations around them. See, half the time we as women worry about changing the situation, or if that, or if this, or, you know, when that, when this. We often forget ourselves and say the change actually has to start from us. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, I will not change the situation of a people until they change what is in themselves.
Absolutely.
Right? So keeping that principle in mind, if we need to see change around us, we need to be that change that we need to see.
That's very beautiful, inshallah. And I loved what you said as well about the fact that Quran doesn't just help us by having the reward for our akhirah, but it also, you help them to find the solutions for their current lives based on the Quran, so relating it to the here and now and how it can help us. Perhaps, do you have a specific example that our dear listeners can use and kind of relate to so that they can connect and see how important this is in our lives? I know, sorry, I'm putting you in the spot there. Only if you have an example coming to the top of your mind. If not, we can come back to this at a later stage, inshallah.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. No worries. I have a very, an example from Surah Baqarah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah," seek strength with patience and prayer. And from that verse, I've derived a formula called a 3P formula. Okay, which is alhamdulillah, which is very easy to understand for the, you know, for the layman, it's very easy, alhamdulillah. So the 3 P's stand for pray, which is istainu bis sabri was salah, which is the salah part of the ayah. The second one is persevere, that is put in your efforts. So pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, start with praying, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, persevere, put in your effort, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, your effort is what is appreciated. You know, the result is not in our hands, it never was, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always looks for the effort, right? So P number two is persevere, which is put in your effort. And the third P is patience.
Yeah.
Ista'inu bis sabri was salah. So patience, adopt an attitude of patience. Sometimes things may work out as we had planned, alhamdulillah. Sometimes things don't work out as we had planned, even more alhamdulillah, because then we learn how to deal with the situation, how to adjust to the situation, adapt to the new situation with the realization that whatever Allah does for us, there is khair in it. His plan is much, much, much better than our plans.
Yeah.
Any day.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's basically, it feels like literally living our lives within the teachings of the Quran, which is so beautiful.
Absolutely.
So that's really lovely. Yeah, jazakallah khair for that. Okay, so listening to this, it just makes me feel that it's very important actually to have that. So can you tell us a bit more about what is the importance of Quranic coaching in our lives? Is it something that we definitely need through our lives, or is it from time to time when we're down, for example? Tell us a bit more about it.
I strongly believe that in the Quran lies the solution to all our problems. Okay. Now, whether we are going through a relationship issue or whether we're going through a parental issue or we're going through a self issue, you know, like anxiety or depression or any of those kind of self issues, I find that the Quran and study of the Sunnah, of course, accompanied with it, the study of the life of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions and his wives, I believe that all the problems to our solutions lies right there. See, there is no problem that is new, right? Problems have existed, trials have existed right from the time man has existed, right from Adam alayhi salam. So if we study the prophets, if we study the Quran, and Quran alhamdulillah has been, you know, it's sent, the Quran has been sent as a request for us when we requested Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. So the entire Quran was revealed to this request by man, which he made, which says, إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ, guide us to the straight path, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran. Now, if we study the lives of all the prophets and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what is revealed to us in the Quran, every problem is there, and thereby every solution is there.
Yeah,
and the best solution is shown to us by all the prophets that were sent. Whether it's the trial of wealth, whether it's the trial of health, whether it's the trial of power, whether it's the trial of, you know, self-development, you know, any issue, relationships, parenting, it's all there. All we have to do is look. So the importance of a Quranic guidance coach, or importance of some, you know, a coach, is to basically, the information is there, just to point the people in the right direction. You know what, with the knowledge that, you know what, this is what happened at this point of time, and I can see the resemblance in the problem that you're having now. So why don't we try what the prophets did at that particular point? You know, just somebody from the outside. See, very often it is because suppose we're in the middle of a problem, we kind of get blinded by our emotions.
Yeah.
So sometimes you need somebody from the outside to just look into it. And, you know, just kind of be the nudging force, or be the, you know, show a little bit of the way. See, okay, maybe this will make sense. Maybe try this. And this was perhaps, this solution is taken from this prophet or the Quran or whatever. Why don't we try this? You know, maybe this will help you. Maybe this will help you deal with it. Even if you can't control the problem, the best thing you can do is control yourself. So that's maybe, you know, learn to control yourself. It could be anger issues. It could be, you know, impatience issues or anything like that. So there's always a way around it. And sometimes if you can't control the situation, you learn to deal with the situation to the best of your abilities.
Yes, absolutely. And I guess this is where your three P's come into place as well. The prayer, the patience. What was the other one? Prayer?
Prayer, persevere, and patience.
That's it. Prayer, persevere, and patience. MashaAllah. So that's so beautiful, MashaAllah. And I'm just going to quickly, before moving on, actually, just remind our dear listeners, just in case anybody joined us a bit later, is that we have Arjumand Abdullah with us on the show today. He was an entrepreneur and Quranic guidance coach for Muslim women based in India. Arjumand will be sharing her story of how she made it, inshallah, to the second runner-up of the Super Speaker Season 2, inshallah, which we'll talk about in a moment. And mashallah, being the only Muslim woman in a hijab to do so out of over 200,000 participants across India. I would love to hear about it, inshallah. But inshallah, we'll just talk a little bit more about Ramadan and the Quranic teachings that you do before we get into your story, inshallah. Dear listeners, just a reminder, inshallah, that our show today is actually pre-recorded, so we won't be able to take any questions. But please feel free to text or WhatsApp your thoughts about the show on 0777-9481-822, or you can also comment on Facebook as well. So, mashallah, Arjumand, all that you're sharing is really, really beautiful, specifically, you know, within the month of Ramadan. And it's just making me think here as well is that sometimes we read Quran and the fact that we're in Ramadan as well is we don't really focus on the meaning of what we are reading. We're just reading it and it's very soothing. It helps to calm us down, for example, moments when we're upset, angry, as you said, and so on, it calms us down. But I feel like from what you're saying, it's very important to actually understand and look at the tafsir and or have a Quranic coach in order for us to actually understand. So maybe if we'll talk a little bit more about how can we do this during Ramadan through reflections? How can we read it in a way to implement it in our lives rather than just reading it to finish it or to finish the whole Quran in the month?
So alhamdulillah, I don't know about that side of the world, but here there is literally a race to finish the Quran in Ramadan. I don't know if it's the same there.
Same, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's everybody literally... literally races to finish the Quran, the entire Quran during the month of Ramadan. And while, yes, alhamdulillah, it is good and it is much needed. Mm. However, I feel we miss the point.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is the Quran is supposed to be our companion throughout the year. Why do we just, you know, I never agreed to it. Yes, I did it a long time ago. I used to do it myself. But yeah, I never understood it. I'm like, okay, we're just running to finish it, but we're not understanding what we're reading, and we're not able to connect with it.
Yes.
So I never really got the point. But once I started studying the Quran, like in terms of detailed tafsir and various other, you know, the seerah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and various other courses to, you know, to go with it, and once I started teaching it, I was able to connect with it at a level where, it made me realize a lot of things. You know, it made me realize a lot of things, and it made me realize the error of my ways, where earlier I was just reading it and racing to finish it in the entire month, not really, not really understanding what I was reading. So the term here is, so what we can do in Ramadan, what I encourage people to do more than anything else is tadabbur.
Yes.
Which is basically reflect.
Mm-hmm.
And reflection can take different forms. Sometimes people reflect on the Arabic aspect of it. Sometimes people reflect on the, if for example, if you take one verse, if you take even one verse and try and understand it to the depth, or a certain section and say, okay, and try and understand the history behind the section.
Mm-hmm.
A particular ruku, let's say. Mm-hmm. Why were these verses revealed? What was the situation at that time in Arabia? Why, when these verses were revealed, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal these verses at that particular point? What was the scenario going on at that time? And why these verses were important and related to our situation today.
So beautiful.
You know, whether it's our political situation, whether it's our personal situation, whether it's our, it could be anything we're struggling with, any trial that we may be facing or anything we may be struggling with, how to take that wisdom that we found in those verses, reflect upon it, think upon it, and what is it that I can derive from it that I can apply in my daily life? So I would love to encourage and invite people to, instead of being in the race to complete it, give it its due haq.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is to be able to recite it to the best of, to give the Quran its due haq, to recite it to the best of its abilities, to understand it, to implement it, and to convey it to others. That's basically the right of the Quran that is there. And make it a companion, make it your companion, because the Quran is going to come as a companion, as your savior in the qabr and in the hereafter.
Mm.
So why are we waiting for that companionship in the hereafter? Why not make it a companion in our life while we're still living?
Absolutely. So beautiful, subhanAllah. And it's, you know, the way you're describing it, it's just like, it feels so beautiful to relate to it, to understand the reasons behind it. Why was it revealed, for example? It feels like you get the big picture, not just reading it and finishing it. And I myself is guilty of that. I remember when I was younger, when I was a teenager, I had a lot of time. So I finished in Ramadan, finished the Quran in 4 days, the first reading of it. And everybody was like, oh, well done. But then it made me reflect and I'm like, but I didn't get anything out of it. I just rushed it. Right. And this is where I made the decision. I was like, okay, no, next year I'm going to take my time. So the following year when I did, I remember my dad was quite disappointed. And he was like, you finished in 4 days last Ramadan and now you're taking your time. I'm like, no, but I want to understand it. I don't want to just read it just for the sake of reading it. And somehow it makes such a big difference because then as I said, you relate to it, you feel it. It's not just about reading it. It's just not shallow. You're actually feeling it and you're implementing it in your lives. So
it's
even the way
it's level altogether, it's a different depth, it's a different level altogether.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. That's very beautiful. Jazakallah khair. We've got a few minutes before we go for a break. So perhaps if we can talk a little bit more about, because now we talked about that now Ramadan, this is a good time for us to start doing this, inshallah. What happens after Ramadan? How do we train ourselves to continue having Quran and have that involvement with the Quran through our lives, not just in Ramadan?
I would say discipline.
Yeah. Yes.
Where definitely. Make it part of your morning routine. Yeah. Read it every day. Reflect upon it. Especially Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the recitation of the Quran at Fajr is witnessed. So perhaps making it part of your morning routine where we recite it after Fajr. It could be a small part. It doesn't have to be big parts. Just connect to it. Just keep it as part. Keep that connection with it throughout the year. It could be reading a small part during Fajr. It could be reading it anytime throughout the day, which is convenient. It could be reading Surah Mulk and Surah Sajda at night, before going to sleep. Just find ways. The best thing is to find ways to keep connected to it. And yes, there will be days where we'll rush through it. Because life takes over. And then there will be days when we'll be calmer and we'll be able to ponder and reflect and think. And, you know, when we, for example, if we make it part of a night routine and we pray Surah Mulk and Surah Sajda every day, at least we pray it understanding what the essence of the surah, what it's trying to tell us. You know, why has Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended that we pray this surah every night, these two surahs every night? What is the reason behind it? What is the thinking behind it? What is the surah trying to tell us? And Surah Mulk essentially is about, coming of the last hour. And we need to think and reflect on it every night before we actually go to sleep, because there is no guarantee that we're going to go sleep and get up. So it just serves as a reminder. And yes, sometimes we do it just as a rote practice. But sometimes it's important to reflect and think about it and do it with, it helps a lot in focus. It helps a lot in being in the moment.
Yes, absolutely.
So alhamdulillah, make it part of your day routine, morning routine or night routine. Or any time throughout the day where you find you might need it. But usually night times and morning times are calmer, especially for ladies with children at home and or homeschooling or anything like that. I know throughout the day goes by and we don't even know what happened.
Sometimes. Absolutely.
But if we make it part of a morning routine, either after Fajr or night before going to sleep, at least we stay connected to it. Keeping that discipline or staying connected to it is the key. It's most important. It's most important than anything else.
Yes, absolutely. And it's better to have the action more consistent rather than doing a lot and then leaving it completely. So even what you're saying, even it's a small part of the Quran, even if it's just one verse, where we actually do it with tadabbur, as you've mentioned earlier, reading it with reflection rather than just reading so much and then not benefiting much. I mean, alhamdulillah, it's a great reward to do so, especially in Ramadan as well, but also it has a lot of benefit if we read it with the tadabbur and understanding the meaning of it. And I love what you said as well, which I've never heard before, in terms of Surah Mulk, for example, understanding why we are reading it at night before we go to sleep. How does it help us? How does it save us, from, I think the Surah Mulk, it saves us from the grave, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, why do you do that? Because I used to eat salmon like every day, and I'm the kind of person who gets into routine, but then when I'm out of routine, it's very difficult for me to get back into it. So I'm at that stage where I used to eat salmon like every day, now I don't anymore. But I believe what you said in terms of if we actually understand why we're doing it, it actually helps us to have that consistency because we know how important it is. So that's so beautiful. I've never heard of that. So inshallah, that's a task for me today. So jazakallah khair for that.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So just to remind our dear listeners, because we'll be going for a break very shortly, is that we have Arjumand Abdullah with us on the show today, who's an entrepreneur and Quranic guidance coach for Muslim women based in India. Arjumand will be sharing his story, inshallah, which we'll be getting on, inshallah, to talk about it after the break. So please do stay tuned. We'll have amazing, inshallah, interesting stuff to talk about after the break. So Arjumand will be sharing, inshallah, his story of how she made it to the second runner-up of Super Speaker Season 2 and being the only Muslim woman in a hijab to do so out of over 200,000 participants across India. Dear listeners, this show is pre-recorded, so we won't be able to take any questions, but please feel free to text or WhatsApp your thoughts about the show at 0779-481822, or feel free to comment on Facebook as well. So inshallah, we'll go for a very short break, and inshallah, we'll see you shortly.
Assalamu alaikum, this is Atif Nawaz. Listen to Inspire FM shows in your time by heading over to inspirefm.org or listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
Assalamu alaikum, everybody. Welcome to the Rise to Success show, where we, inshallah, aim to highlight inspiring individuals and their journeys to success. We have Arjumand Abdullah with us on the show today, who is an entrepreneur and Quranic guidance coach for Muslim women based in India. Arjumand will be sharing his story, inshallah, of how she made it to the second runner-up of Super Speaker Season 2. She is the only Muslim woman in a hijab to do so out of over 200,000 participants across India. Dear listeners, just a reminder that this is a pre-recorded show, so we won't be able to take any questions, but please feel free to text or WhatsApp your thoughts about the show at 0779-481822, or you can send us your comments on Facebook as well. So Arjumand, getting to the interesting part of, mashallah, being the second runner-up of Super Speaker Season 2 and being the only Muslim woman hijab in between over 200,000 participants, mashallah, across all of India. I would love to hear more about that. Please tell us more about it.
It's a very interesting story. And the reason I embarked on this journey, so it was about a year-long journey, which took me from 2022 to 2023. Mm. And it's very interesting because I actually got onto the journey to, I would say, rediscover myself. Because as a young, as a young school-going teenager, I used to take a lot of, take part in a lot of extracurricular activities, especially debates, plays, all those kind, and speaking skills, etc. So I was always, good at that, and somewhere in the, in the whole, being a wife, being a mother. Life takes over basically, and then you tend to, there comes a point in your life where you're wondering, like, I used to be good at something, let me see if I'm still good at it. Right? And it's interesting that the first time I tried it, I actually failed. I didn't make the cut. In season one, I didn't make the cut to the finals. Right? So I decided, alhamdulillah, why not try again?
Good.
Yeah. So alhamdulillah, in season two, I tried again. And this was, it was the first round in the season one. Mm-hmm. And it was about 50,000 people all over India. Mm-hmm. The second round had even more registrations. So the probability of getting through was even less.
Yeah.
Because there were over 200,000 people who had, registered for the, who took part.
Mm.
And anyway, the rounds kept going and, people kept getting eliminated. And this time I made it to the top 10.
Mashallah.
Alhamdulillah, round after round after round. And it involved a lot of, it tested a lot of skills in terms of how do you speak live, how do you speak on stage, how do you record a video, how do you edit a video, how do you project a video, all those kind of things, So it had a lot of elements to it, along with, of course, the context and the brief that they gave you. And they were very, you know, they'd be very specific. So-and-so time limit, so-and-so subject, so-and-so whatever. So they were very, it was a very tight set of rules. So alhamdulillah, I just said, you know what? I'm just going to try my best and try and clear every round. So there were about 6 rounds to clear before you made it to the top 10. And this was a process over a period of a year. So alhamdulillah, I just said, you know what, I'm just going to say bismillah and do my best. I'm just going to say bismillah and do my best. And I, alhamdulillah, I kept clearing every round. And then I made it to the top 10. And then after top 10, they had a live round. I mean, like live on stage in front of an audience, etc. And yes, alhamdulillah. So that was also, that also had an element of 4 rounds where they tested different skills. So alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah, I made it to the top 3. And secured second round. So it just, to be honest, it was just a validation on whether I still got it or not, more than anything else. It just happened to be, you know, alhamdulillah, and every step I took, I always, of course, followed my formula of pray, persevere, and be patient.
Yeah,
and that's what, you know, and so when I teach it, I've actually implemented it in my life, in various areas of my life. And the result, you know, as a result, I didn't even realize I broke some kind of glass ceiling, I believe, is what they say. You know, while I didn't intend to do it, as a course of things, it just happened. And that's when I realized that, oh. And I was the only Muslim on that stage.
Yeah, subhanAllah. That's so beautiful.
It was a first. And you know, when people say, you know, when I help people become best, the best versions of themselves, it, because I come from a space of, you know, I've done it. I know how hard it is. I, you know, I can help you with it. So allow me to help you.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, I would like to invite your listeners, if I may, I would like to invite your listeners to, you know, just, I would like to put it out there for all your listeners as a service, as a gratitude for, from me to you for giving me this opportunity. I will be happy to share with, share the link with you, and I'd be happy to connect with them on a one-to-one call, you know, for whatever I can be of service for them. In terms of if they need some Quranic guidance, in the, if they need some one-on-one coaching, if they need some, just some, you know, something I can help them with, whatever it is I can help them with. Of course, it's only open to Muslim women.
Yeah.
So exactly. I'd be happy to do that. I'd be happy to do that just as a, you know, as a way of service, as a way of my gratitude for giving me this opportunity and to add value to your audience in any way that I can.
That's very kind, inshallah. May Allah reward you abundantly, inshallah, make it a means of sadaqah as well, and inshallah, to a reward, inshallah, to with the amazing work that you do, inshallah. Please feel free to share the link, inshallah, so others can benefit from it, inshallah. What they can, yeah, we can, you can share the link from now so we don't forget about it later, inshallah. So feel free to tell us what link it is, or there is a specific, if you just say it out, so that they can copy it or make notes of it, inshallah, when you're ready. It seems like you are finding it, inshallah. Once, by the time you find it, maybe if we talk a little bit more about it as well, because you mentioned the failure the first time, you wanted to check if you actually still have that skill in you. The first time you failed, right? And I'm just wondering here, in terms of when that happened, did you think of giving up, thinking, oh, actually, you know what, well, I don't have the skill anymore. What motivated you to keep going?
Just the fact that I was, see, I just took it one step at a time, to be honest with you. I was just taking it one step at a time, and by one step at a time I mean one round at a time, because there were several rounds throughout the course of the year, right? So it was just one round at a time. So every round was different. It had a different brief, it had a different criterion, it was testing for different things. Some of them were testing for skills, some of them were testing for content. You know, so each round was testing for a different skill set, so to speak. And I just took it one round at a time, one round at a time. But I'd like to share this. Alhamdulillah, I put in the link, which is a Google form link. So I've put in the link, alhamdulillah, in chat. The interesting thing is, towards the, when there was, just before the selection of the Super 10, of the top 10, I was in a situation where I had to decide. Now, I had to decide whether to unapologetically be me, that is, stay out, come out in the open saying that this is what I do and this is why I do it.
Yeah.
So the objective of that particular round was, what do you do and what is it that will what is it in your life that will inspire other women, other people to do the same as well?
Mm-hmm.
What is it in your life that will inspire other people was basically the brief.
Got it.
And so you won't believe, till the very last day, while I was even shooting for the video, okay, for the final video, the setup was ready, everything was ready, I had planned everything, but I was still struggling with, you know what, and my story was my story, which I shared with you, that I've been a Quran teacher for the last, 20 years. And my journey actually started with a very important incident in my life, which happened in 2001, which is commonly known as 9/11. So I actually found myself right in the middle of 9/11. I witnessed it with my own eyes. And that's where my journey of actually studying my religion started. And to this point, I never really understood why I was put in the middle of that situation. And when I say in the middle, I was literally in the middle. And to this date, I never understood why I was put in the middle of the situation till a couple of years later when I started this journey. You know, at that point, we were being maligned, we were being misrepresented, we were being, everybody else was being misinformed about our deen. And I really felt bad about it. But the worst part was I couldn't do anything about it because I was not equipped enough. So even if I wanted to defend my religion, I didn't know how because I didn't know anything about it. I mean, other than the thing that we're brought up with, yes, we fast in the month of Ramadan and yes, we do our rituals. Yes. Ritualistically, yes, absolutely on point. Everything was there. But the essence of the deen was not there. Who is my creator? Why do I worship him? What is Islam about? What does it tell us? What does it teach us? So I literally had to go back to the basics. And that is what propelled me to, you know, come back here to India and get into the study of my deen. And that's when that realization hit me. So I put that in the video, then I put what I've been doing in the video. And when you put it out there, there's always that element of doubt, if you understand what I'm saying, you know. It could be misinterpreted. It could be looked at wrongly, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
So it was either a hit or a miss. Either it would, I knew if it hit, it would hit. If it missed, it would miss, like terribly miss. Right? It had the potential of going either way. So till the very last moment, I was like, should I play it safe or should I go all out? Should I play it safe or should I go all out? Till the very last minute. Then at the end of the day, I said, you know what? I said, Allah, I'm doing it. It's in your hands.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was okay with the fact that if it misses also, I'm okay. Because I projected myself to be who I was, not somebody I was not. So alhamdulillah, my conscience would be clear. I said, fine, if they can't, if they put any ruling against it, or it's too religious, or it's too, you know, it's too politically incorrect for the term to be used. I said, that's fine. At least I was true to myself. So I said, if it misses, it's absolutely fine by me, or they decide to edit it, or they decide to cut it off, or they decided not to show it, or whatever it is. And it was fine because it was going to a panel of judges like from all across the world. That particular video. So I said, fine, if it hits, it hits. If it misses, it misses. At least I was. So, you know, when I'm talking about that entire realization of, I am I who I still am? Like I, that journey culminated with that. If I still got it with, got it in me, that journey culminated with that, where I was like, okay, you know, if I don't qualify also, I'm still fine. Because at least I was who I am.
Yeah.
That was more important to me than anything else.
Yeah. Inshallah. And I guess it comes back to the three P's that you've mentioned as well. It keeps coming back to the three P's.
Mashallah, it's the principle of my life, I'm telling you.
I can see it, mashallah. And I think that's the beautiful thing about it, is that you're not just teaching it as based on knowledge, but you're teaching it from experience as well, and how you're implementing it in your life. And that's the best way to connect with others, because others connect with a story, with experience as well, not just the knowledge. So that's very beautiful, mashallah. And the fact that you didn't give up from the first time. It's like, no, okay, this season two, let's go and take it on. And mashallah, you just decided to be you, right? And I love what you said about just be you rather than trying to be someone else. And that's a lot of the work that I do with the, I think I mentioned it to you briefly when we spoke a while back, in terms of the personality work. Embrace who you are. You know, Allah has created us in a certain way for a reason. Otherwise, Allah would have created us as someone else. So it's about embracing who you are and using that talent and that skill. And mashallah, you've got so far with it, mashallah, which is so beautiful. And as one of our themes as well in Ramadan this week is to thank Almighty for all that we have. If we can tell us a little bit more about that, mashallah, you already spoke about it a lot throughout, mashallah, and how that, you know, the incident that happened September the 11th, is that it actually got you into Islam, right? And mashallah, now you're helping so many people, mashallah. So how important it is us for to thank Allah for all the blessings that we have. And although sometimes we may not see it as a blessing, and the best example I can use is what's happening in Palestine. With all that's going on, all we hear is Alhamdulillah, which is, I just look at it, it's like, what can I complain about? Right?
Subhanallah.
So how important is it for us to make sure that we remember that, you know, to thank Allah for everything, for all the blessings that we have, although we may not see it as a blessing?
I believe that we can never thank Allah enough. Even if we thank Him with every breath that we take from the day we are born till the day we die, we will still never be able to do justice to what He has done for us. The mere fact that He created us, He made us Muslims, He chose us to represent Him. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, Khalifa, we've been sent as His ambassadors in this world to worship Him, to serve Him in any way that we can. So I just believe that we will never, ever, no matter what we do, we will never be able to do justice, you know, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever He has done for us, whatever He provides us with. You know, every single thing from the fact that we breathe, we inhale and exhale subconsciously, right to something that we may consciously realize or as a blessing that He has given us, you know, whether He's created heavens, earth, whatever it is, okay, right from earth right to the sky and everything else in between. However, it's very Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says time and again in the Quran two things. He says, fa in shakartum wala azidannakum. If you are grateful, I will give you more. So the key to success is actually gratitude. And it could be more success or more wealth or more health or more whatever you may want in life. Are we grateful for what we have? Number one. And right, like you very rightly said, given the situation that we see around us, we have no right to be ungrateful. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran that He has created us and it is our nature. He has given us the simplest things like eyesight, aqal, and hearing. But little is qalilam ma tashkurun. Little is what you give thanks. In fact, Surah Kahf today mentions it, in little is what you give thanks.
Yeah.
And he mentions the very thing that are essential for our livelihood. You know, the eyes with which we see his signs, the ears with which we hear his words, the aqal, which is the mind and the heart, which are both used to ponder and reflect. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have given you everything, but little is what you give thanks. So by nature, we, like you said, na, like they say, we are attuned to looking at the negative, and we are so attuned from a very early age, even whether it's the negativity of the news or the negativity around you, we're attuned to looking towards what we don't have as opposed to what we actually have. And we are so busy, especially in this day and age of social media, we are so busy comparing our lives to other people's lives. Now that we have a window of access to other people, what is going on in other people's homes, literally without even entering their houses, we fall into the trap of, you know, she has it better, she has it more, she has this, she has that, I don't have that, but, you know, we forget to realize what we truly have, and we do an unfair comparison. It's unfair to us more than anything else, and we don't realize it.
Yes, absolutely.
The only comparison we have is with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Am I better than what I was yesterday?
Love it.
So if you want more of anything, and if you ever find yourself in a position where you are wanting for something or needing something or envious of anybody else, the best thing to do is turn it back and say, what am I grateful for? Because the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, if you are grateful, I will give you more. It's as simple as that. Another very important principle from the Quran.
Yes, absolutely.
If you want more, be grateful.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's so another principle I live my life by, where gratitude is key. If you want more, just turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be grateful. You won't realize where risk comes from.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's so beautiful. It's just such a beautiful reminder that we forget about. So jazakallah khair for that reminder. You mentioned about, you know, the negativity, and I was wondering if that's something that, just for like a minute or so, if we can talk a little bit about why is it that we tend to be so negative? You mentioned about social media as being one that makes us compare ourselves with others and so on. So are there any other things that makes us tend to be more negative than positive? And how can we start training ourselves to focus on positivity more than negativity, so that we start implementing in our lives as well?
It's the handiwork of shaitan. And what I mean by that is, shaitan's purpose is to whisper to us and misguide us or mislead us away from the straight path. And that's what he's been trying to do ever since the time of Adam alayhi salam. Right? And so, you know, his purpose has always been to, so that we lose hope of the mercy of Allah. So that we become ungrateful to him, so that we become, you know, we always, it's by nature, to a certain extent, by nature, we are also created that way. You know, we are, if we were to face ourselves as a creation, we are greedy by nature. You know, if we aspire for a certain thing, if we reach that, we want the next thing. Let's say we aspire to earn, you know, so much per year. And then once we've achieved that, we want more. And then once we've achieved that, we want more. You know, we basically don't know how to say stop enough.
Yeah.
And find that balance between, okay, this is my work for the dunya. I'm happy with my dunya right now. How can I use this to create my akhirah?
Yeah.
So it's actually about finding that right balance. Where I can say, okay, enough dunya. Now I have a certain level in dunya. I'm happy with that. Now what can I use? How can I use that to get my akhirah?
Sure.
Right? So now, alhamdulillah, with the skill set that I rediscovered, Alhamdulillah, in my life, I'm trying to do the same. I said, Allah has given me that, you know, that I can talk to people and I can communicate with people. I can reach people. And when Allah has given me this ability, which is, Alhamdulillah, really God gifted. And I said, if Allah has given me this ability, how can I use this? How can I use this for my dunya and my akhirah as well?
Yes.
So when I created this community, which you see behind me, Your Sister in Islam, it was basically an endeavor to create a sisterhood, a community of like-minded sisters where we can help each other with whatever we're struggling with. You know, and we don't judge the other. You know, there are people with hijab, there are people without hijab, and that's fine. We don't judge each other, but we kind of, you know, help each other, push each other, hold each other accountable. You know? So where we can, you know, where we can help empower each other, because in unity is where we have the strength.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and I strongly believe that if we can, the you know, and without sounding feminist, with if we can change the mindset of a woman, if I can help change the mindset of a Muslim woman, it automatically has ripple effects on the family, the community, the society, and then generally as a whole. So if we need to see the world change, we need to be the change we want to see in the world.
Beautiful. Love it. And I 100% agree, because woman is half of the society, right?
Yes.
So with that change, it changes a whole society.
Sure. And whether it's educating, because here, you know, a lot of stress is given on the education for the girl child.
Yes.
But we forget our education, which is right here.
Absolutely.
Which is the Quran.
Absolutely. And with that said, we are reaching the end of the show. But Jazakallah khair, this has been so beautiful. So thank you so much. Dear listeners, Jazakallah khair for tuning in. Arjumand, that has been very beneficial. I certainly benefited and hope, inshallah, our dear listeners have as well. So Jazakallah khair. Dear listeners, inshallah, see you next week for our last show in Ramadan. And inshallah, look forward to seeing you then. Jazakallah khair. Thank you, Arjumand. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Why not tune in to our live stream at inspirefm.org? And follow and subscribe to our social media platforms at Inspire FM Luton.